Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It starts off by chronicling David as the warrior king who takes a throne and then takes Jerusalem as his capital. But the real stars of the story are the mighty men. Now, there were a band of brothers, mighty men, who ended up being David's champions, his fiercest warriors and bodyguards. But the chief among them was someone named Jashobeam. Now, he did many things. Among them was taking on 300 soldiers with one spear. But there's another guy named Josheb-Bashabeth, a Tachmenonite, who was also the chief of the three. He wielded his spear against 800 men whom he killed at one time. Now, 800 to 1 is terrible odds. Like Han Solo said to C-3PO, never tell me the odds, because 800 to 1 means certain death. But 800 to 1 plus God equals no contest. During the 400-year silent period, Daniel prophesies that they who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. You know, Judas Maccabeus, who led the Maccabean revolt against the Greeks, actually did some incredible things, and so did Josheb-Bashabeth. Number one, he stopped being a statistic. The odds suck and they never work in your favor. In our case, our odds are worse than 800 to 1. At $13 billion a year, the porn industry brings in more than eBay, Yahoo, Amazon, Google, Netflix, and Microsoft combined. Every second, over $3,000 are being spent on pornography. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. Every second, 372 internet users are typing adult search terms into their search engines. And every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created within the United States. It seems that we're outnumbered, but it gets worse. In a poll taken by XXXChurch.com, 70% of all Christians admitted to struggling with porn in their daily lives. In order to live up what God has called us to be, we've got to stop being a statistic. As one pastor once said, stop getting your butt kicked by a teenage girl. Now, Peter once got his butt kicked by a girl in the garden because he was afraid to stand up for Jesus. But getting hit and getting into a fight with things is an occupational hazard of not only being a boxer or a cage fighter, but also of a Christian. And Josheb-Bashabeth, as I read it, when he came face to face with 800 savage opponents, there were only three options available to him. He could run away and hide, he could drop his weapon and surrender, or he could take a deep breath, tighten his grip on his spear, and charge full face into the face of adversity. He had to fight. And believer, at some point, you're going to have to run at this enemy that you have, the enemy of your souls and all of his minions, and fight. That's why Ephesians 6 tells us, take up the armor of God and hit back. You know, in WWE, they specialize in fake hitting. Christians do that a lot. They talk tough. They strut around on stage. They pound the deck with their foot while making a fist swipe in the air. But it's fake fighting and fake hitting. But the reality is, Josheb-Bashabeth's name in the big book of Bible baby names that we've been collecting, his meaning of that name means let the people return to God. Are you ready to get your fighting kit on here? Most of us are playing a role that somebody else defined for us. For example, the pornography industry and our society believes that we should be a victim. We just don't talk about it. It's just one of those all-powerful forces out there that we should never stand up to and never expect to fight and beat. These guys, David's mighty men, were a motley crew before they were mighty men. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel. Is that the role you've been asked to play? Just worthless men, as we're told in the book of 2 Samuel, David's mighty men? Worthless men that gathered to him when he was on the road, on the run from Saul? That is a part that the enemy wants you to play. But it's time, like the Matrix, you find out who you really are. Mr. Anderson was a pencil-neck Xerox copy boy until he woke up and discovered he was Neo. Well, who are you? Who did Jesus call you to be? In the book of Revelation, he says, I have a name just between you and I that I'm going to write on you. Now, most of us have cool names. We just don't know what they mean. I mean, my first name is Peyton. It means warrior from the king's estate. That's not a bad start. I can live with that one. My middle name, however, has been a secret shame to me for years. It's nearly caused me to punch people in the head when they discover it and utter it out loud. Randolph conjures images of Little Lord Fauntleroy bedwetting milk babies wearing velvet pantaloons and lace collars. That is until this week when I Googled it to find out what it means. It means wolf shield. It describes a warrior who creates a perimeter around an area to fight wolves. With a name like a double-barreled shotgun like I got, I should be walking around like I have the source of ultimate ninja power. But you'll rarely find a person with a name that means hamster farmer or guy who's good at doing cartwheels. The reality is, your name usually shows something really cool about you. And Jesus made Simon Peter the Rock. He made Gideon Baal Slayer. Finish him. Mighty men start out usually as ultimate losers. But they do great exploits, and that's why you're here today. You're here to know your God. And these mighty men knew their God because they had watched David, and they had learned and been discipled by David, who was trusting in God with all his might. And there wasn't one single jam that David didn't trust God for, unlike Saul, and God delivered him out of it. Even though Josheb-Bashabeth's strength was supernatural, and all these mighty men, their strength was supernatural, they still had to fight. When one of the mighty men fell into a pit with a lion in it on a snowy day, he still had to decide what he was going to do. Was he going to turn his back and get clawed apart from behind, or was he going to turn and make a stand and fight? This proves the spiritual point. If we do our part, God will more than do his. David was outweighed and outspeared by Goliath, but he knuckled some rock bullets, and the Holy Spirit did the rest. And if you're going to defy the odds, then you're going to have to run headlong at the enemy at some point. And the Holy Spirit is looking for men and women like that, waiting to pour himself out in power upon them. Are you ready to be a Josheb-Bashabeth? Are you ready to return to God? Again, I can just picture Josheb-Bashabeth. Maybe he was running across a stream, and he turned and looked up, noticed he had stumbled right into a camp of the Philistines. You can just imagine going through his mind, do I turn and run, or do I stay and fight? Or do I just let him kill me and get it over with quickly? But instead, he chose to stand and fight. Taking a deep breath, he grips his spear, and he charges. Believers, that's what you're called to do with sin. Sin killed your master. Sin killed you. And in fact, Jesus took the pain of every sin you'd ever commit. If you hate one thing in this life, you should hate sin. You know, there are programs you can get on your computer that other people monitor. There's software that disables your ability to look at porn on your phone. There's a lot of things that you can do, but you've got to be willing to fight. You've got to want to walk so close to God that you won't let anything cut in on your dance with him. And believers, I'm not trying to put any legalism on you. Trust me, that doesn't work. You've been given all the grace and all the forgiveness that you'll ever need. You're already going to heaven. But the question is, are you going to go in economy or first class? You got to fight for first class.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.